Lots to talk with Stephen Bassett about. Disclosure, by the way, he's got a book out called U.S. Presidents and UFOs as well. But, you know, one of the big stories happening is Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton hoping to make some history, not just as the first woman president, but as the political leader who's going to get to the bottom of the mystery behind UFOs. She's really the only one that has even mentioned this at a campaign stop in New Hampshire. Damont Steer of the Conway Daily Sun up there reminded the former Secretary of State that he had previously asked her about UFOs in 2007. And according to Steer, back in 2007, Clinton had said that the number one topic of freedom of information requests that her husband, former President Bill Clinton, received at his library was UFOs. When Steer asked Clinton about her husband's comments concerning extraterrestrials, she said, "I think we may have been visited already. We don't know for sure." So let's talk with Steve about that and so much more about disclosure next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're back. Stephen Bassett, Executive Director of the Paradigm Research Group, a leading advocate for ending the government-imposed truth embargo regarding extraterrestrial presence and the human race. He's a political activist, lobbyist, commentator. I've known Stephen now for 18 years, and he does not give up. Stephen, welcome back. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, George, but I hate to tell you, it's been 20 years, not 18.
For you and me?
Yeah.
Let's see. I thought it was 97 when we started.
Early 97. It's actually 19. Okay.
Well, my friend, you still don't give up, do you?
Yeah, George, it's either do this or get a job, so it's an easy call.
You got that right. Okay, I want your reaction to something you've talked about in the past, and that was the Clintons and Hillary and John Podesta and UFOs, but this is interesting that this comes into this political campaign now.
It's more than just this is basically 20 years in the making, and is I believe, a significant historical moment. A lot of people may not see that yet, but it took that long to get the extraterrestrial presence issue virtually almost, we're almost there, fully into a presidential campaign. And it's not surprising that Secretary Clinton is the catalyst here, because that's where we've been putting the focus, and that's because of the Rockefeller Initiative and the connection mm-hmm. she has to it, along with her husband, President Clinton, and John Podesta, and other members of their team. And a lot's been happening in Washington the last 14 months, rather 13 months. A lot of progress has been made, unprecedented political coverage, and the Rockefeller Initiative has been raised, the awareness of it has been raised to unprecedented levels, not only in all the media here, but also in the Congress. And so that event was carefully crafted by, I believe, the Clinton team. That they were under pressure because of all the coverage you've been getting. They are getting calls. She's been getting calls. Podesta, even Bill Richardson, has been getting contacted by reporters asking questions about the Rockefeller Initiative, which is where all this is headed. And they are not answering. They're not giving a no comment. They're not responding at all, which means that, well, the reporters know what that means. It means that it's a serious matter. So they had to make a decision what to do. And the decision was that they would open, I guess you could say, open the issue in New Hampshire in the middle of the holidays with the Congress not in session, reporters home, small paper, New Hampshire, and bingo, and see what happens. And they're watching, obviously, the coverage very carefully.
They probably didn't expect this kind of coverage from that kind of statement and that kind of newspaper.
I don't know. I understand there's a long history here. John Podesta goes way back on this issue. Her husband went on Jimmy Kimmel, went on Colbert. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, George. Let me tell you, this is actually a very complicated and sort of organized situation here. It's not haphazard. They're not just doing this thing on the spur of the moment. I think that they very much expected there might be a lot of coverage, but yeah, they had to do it to find out. And of course, my Lord, it's based on my analysis. I've already logged in about 80 articles, but there's been 250 or so foreign language articles, a couple hundred local stations, and a few hundred more English language articles. So it's getting covered worldwide.
And she needs something to divert the attention from Benghazi and all these other negative things that have come her way. This is fun. It's interesting. It's serious. It's what so many people talk about. I think this has given her a boost, Steve.
Well, time will tell. I understand, George. This is a momentous thing. This is a huge political risk, but it's almost unavoidable. See, the calculus that they're working with, and by they, I really mean John Podesta, who is the linchpin strategist behind all this, and of course the chairman of her campaign, is can she make it to the presidency without having to face down this issue? And then do what she wants when she's in the White House. Maybe disclose. Be the disclosure president. That would be a huge legacy.
Oh, it would be.
But she has to make it to the presidency. And she just ran out of time. The movement has been making a lot of progress. We had a huge response from the citizen hearing on disclosure. And, of course, as you know, I distributed the record of that to the entire Congress. I've been meeting with congressional staff on the Hill starting last March. We've gotten unprecedented political coverage, which your listeners can see if they go to the link on your site, paradigmresearchgroup.org, and just click on the link at the bottom for Congressional Hearing Political Initiative, and you can see a good deal of this coverage. It's unprecedented political coverage of this issue. And so the simple truth is that they can't make it to the White House. They're going to have to confront the issue now, and the sooner the better. And so I don't know how it's going to go. First of all, you've got you've got your first splash. The articles are covered, and you've got all the comments, right? And this is part of the new environment we're in.
Right.
Articles get comments. And, you know, you've read some of these comments, George, and the truth is, if there was a galactic council up there that was going to decide the fate of the human race based on the comments to Internet articles, we're probably screwed. but there have been quite a few substantial comments. But that's just the first level of response. Where is this going to go from here? Now, again, there are more articles in the works. They're going to be talking about this. I know this for a fact. It may very well come out in January. There's more questions heading their way. So given all of that, but in general, the coverage hasn't been that bad. And you're absolutely right. If I'm advising her campaign, based on everything I'm seeing, even though she still is the presumptive favorite, she is facing a lot of issues and a major change of subject, assuming it doesn't have too much, you know, downside, could be what she needs. But my job is not to get her elected president. My job is to get disclosure and to get it as soon as possible, which is to say that Barack Obama will be the disclosure president. But the next thing is coming up with great anticipation is the NBC debate. That's on the 17th. I think it's a Sunday evening.
Will this come up, do you think?
Well, you know, there's already been 500, 600, 700 articles. There's going to be more coverage over the next 10, 12 days. I mean, it's on, I could just list the, you know, newspapers, magazines. It's been up on websites, left-leaning, right-leaning. It's inconceivable to me that that could go on for the next week or 10 days and that the NBC moderators would just ignore it. I just can't imagine it. But, I mean, I don't want to put it past them. But, you know, here's the deal. Back on, I think it was in September. Hang on just a second. I'll pull this up. In September, her campaign chairman, John Podesta, did something rather unusual. He put out a tweet. This was on September 29th. This was right after his candidate, Secretary Clinton, was interviewed by Lena Dunham. It was sort of a millennial outreach on her part, right? Connect with the youth.
Yeah.
And Lena's a pretty cool gal, so she interviews her. And then right afterwards, Podesta puts out this tweet. Great interview, Lena, but Lena asked her about aliens next time. Hashtag the truth is out there, CC Hillary Clinton. Let me tell you something. People think that they're having little jokes about this. Uh-uh. When you're running for president, and you're going to have to raise from people $1 billion to win the White House, you don't make jokes or play games with things like extraterrestrials, unless there is a damn good reason. So this, they're not just having fun and toying with this, even though it may seem like that to somebody who doesn't know all the background. But this tweet was interesting. I felt this tweet was basically John Podesta's way of cueing the media in a subtle way without being too obvious that it was okay to ask her. And that came out on September the 29th. So essentially 3 months later, she gets asked. And she could have said anything. She could have gone on off the record, right, and just had a chat with him.
That's right.
She stayed on the record.
She did.
Now, and what she does say in this interview is quite interesting. And so if the green light is sort of out there to ask her about this, depending upon how the media responds, then I've got to think, well, she'll get more questions, right? But it gets even better, because by answering those questions, she has basically put this thing in play, which means that any one of the 10 or 12, or I don't know how many candidates are on the Republican side, it changes, could bring it up tomorrow, right? They could step right into it.
Exactly.
It's in play.
She's made it a reputable, a credible question to ask.
The way she responded, yes. I mean, her response was interesting on several levels. She did the most important thing she said, and the thing that probably gathered the most attention and was the most important statement, whether she was smiling when she said it or not, doesn't matter, was they may already be here visiting us already, but we don't know. I can assure you that no president or presidential candidate from the two parties in history has ever said that. All right? They may already be visiting, okay, they may be visiting us already, but we don't know for sure. Understand that Obama put out 2 years ago on the White House website a statement response to the PRG's petition that there's no evidence at all for anything.
Yeah.
Right? Well, obviously, that is completely... Well, that was obviously false, and I think it was deliberately false.
So and a mistake, I think. A mistake on his part.
Well, actually, it might have been a good thing. By doing that, he really energized a lot of people. He gave me a lot of ammunition to work with.
Well, he ticked you off, didn't he?
Well, in your own little way. Energizing. But it was helpful. In other words, there was not much they could do. If they had said anything positive, it would have launched a storm. And he can't do anything without the Pentagon's assistance. And so what they did was say something so outrageously false to even raise the interest of more people, and also reporters who know when something is absolutely false. So there is a complex dynamic that goes all the way back to 2002, when John Podesta first called for the release of all UFO files at the National Press Club. And a lot has happened since then. And you can, if you follow the whole thing, and I've got a lot of that up on the site, you can see that inside the Democratic Party, in the Clinton wing of the Democratic Party, which is the wing of the Democratic Party, there has been a kind of complex strategy where they're trying to get onto the issue, they're trying to engage it without triggering anything right away, because it's very risky politically. But because of the pressure coming at them from all directions, and because the truth embargo is generally coming apart right now, they are going to have to deal with it. Now, they would love to be able to just skate all the way to the White House, but that's not going to happen. And so this is just getting started. And so the next thing is, and I invite everybody to be watching that debate on the 17th, and keep your fingers crossed that there's, you know, that NBC is wise enough to realize this is a major story now, and they need to ask her about it. And then what she says then, her response to that question, is absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got to make the right call. And I hope John Podesta advises her well.
Well, and the Clinton advisors have obviously told her this will help not hurt you. But your opinion, Stephen, will this issue, if any candidate brings it up, albeit Hillary or anybody else, does it help them or hurt them in the campaign?
The only candidate that would be helped by bringing it up is Secretary Clinton.
Yes.
All right. Others may bring it up to attack her. And that
or ridicule her. They will ridicule her.
They may, right? But she's the only one that benefits. And again, I'm sure their advisors that would be telling her you're out of your mind. But there is a powerful logic that if you... All right, let me put it this way. The number one liability that this particular candidate has, and she has many, but the number one, and you hear it all the time, is that a significant portion of the people do not trust her.
Right.
They do not believe that she is truthful.
That's exactly.
And that is the kind of thing that can cost you an election, right? And so if that's the number one liability, and she steps into the issue legitimately because of the history with the Rockefeller Initiative, 93 to 96, and starts to talk matter-of-factly about it and give legitimacy and seriousness to this, probably saying something along the lines of the Pentagon stonewalled them. They couldn't get anything. That wouldn't shock anybody. Carter couldn't get anything. The president is not on a need-to-know basis on
That's
the
right.
ET issue.
That's right.
And a lot of people should be very concerned about that.
Nixon was, but the others haven't been.
Nixon may have had some access, but certainly not Clinton, certainly not Ford.
Or Carter.
And I don't think George W. Bush either. In other words, it's kind of been pulled out from under him. Same with the Congress. Congress has no access on it. This, I can assure you. And this is not right. The military intelligence complex is trying to become its own branch of government. Can't do that. A lot of nice people over there. They want us to be safe. I get it. You can't do that. So if she were to get at the be at the in the center of the ground zero of bringing out a truth of this level and being very straightforward about it, nothing could reverse that perception more quickly than that. Once she gets through that first snarky, ridicule that's always going to come, once that's passed, and I don't think it'll last long, it could turn things around. Not to mention the fact it's an issue of huge importance, and not to mention the fact that I assure you, if this issue really comes into this election, and she starts speaking to it frankly, and the questions start cascading onto her husband and Podesta and Bill Richardson and Leanne Panetta and Mac McClarty and others that knew about or were involved in the Rockefeller Initiative, Mr. Trump's going to be getting a lot less media coverage. Emails, Benghazi, things like that are going to fade into the background. That's just simple logic because, frankly, compared to this issue, they are simply not important.
The late Congressman Steve Schiff from New Mexico, he tried to get to the bottom of this, didn't he?
Yeah, and they ran him around in circles until he got really mad.
And then he died of skin cancer.
He died of skin cancer about a year later. Carter's whole study was blocked. But that's truth embargo. Carter, of course, was during the Cold War. I get it. Schiff was making his queries about Roswell right in the middle of the Rockefeller Initiative. There's a lot going on back then. You had the Rockefeller Initiative, 93 to 96. You had the emergence of John Mack at Harvard. You had Corso putting together his book, right? And then you had the 1997, 50-year anniversary of Roswell coming up with estimates of 200,000 people. There was a lot going on between 93 and 96, and the reason was simple. And I'm going to make a point here that I think a lot of your listeners may not fully understand, but it's a very important point. There are a lot of people in the congressional staffs, 10,000 people in Capitol Hill, in White House staffs, in the Pentagon, and in the media that personally are quite convinced that this phenomenon is extraterrestrial.
Yes.
Quite convinced.
Yep.
But they simply can't talk about it because that's the way it is. That's the truth embargo. So it's not like everybody that we're trying to deal with is completely opposed to this. Not at all. I'm dealing with a lot of people that privately know it's true, but they can't speak publicly, and I'm just trying to motivate them.
Does that frustrate you?
Well, it's frustrating, but it is what it is. That is the result of the truth embargo.
Well, but you have, played it well in terms of their confidence. They trust you. And hold on for a sec, Steve. We're at the break already. Stephen Bassett, our special guest, as we talk about disclosure next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Stephen Bassett with us. So, Stephen, we've got Edgar Mitchell in our camp. We've got Paul Hellyer, the former defense minister of Canada, in our camp. What else is new out there for the push for disclosure?
Well, I'm talking with staff members of Congress to try to get hearings, and that's in play. It's a very slow thing. What's most important, though, that it's happening, because by doing that and putting pressure on the political media to come forward. So that's happening. as I've said before, the coverage, the political coverage is unprecedented at this point and continuing to grow. If you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, click on the Congressional Hearing Initiative link, you can spend 5 minutes on there and you see it. It's just huge. It's just all over the place. So that's an important breakthrough. And then, of course, we've got the Clinton statement in New Hampshire to Damon Steer of the Conway Daily Sun, which opens up all these possibilities. One, it opens up the possibility for questions to be asked at the debate. Two, it opens up possibilities for any of the other candidates for president to speak up on it and bring it into play. And it does something else. You know, there are third parties in America. They don't have much chance of getting people elected by and large because our system is very much rigged against them. But they do bring ideas into play. And so I think by what she did gives these third parties kind of a license to go there. For example, you take the Libertarian Party. Dr. Joseph Bookman started engaging this issue with the Libertarian Party all the way back 2008 when he ran for Congress in Utah's first and got on the ballot. He's the second person to do that. And he's been engaging the Libertarian Party for years on this. And we've come close to maybe getting him to step into it. They haven't quite done it. As you know, Jesse Ventura is flirting with the idea of possibly being a candidate, VP, I don't know. His son, Terrell, is very much into this issue and has brought me on his show when they were doing the Buzzsaw show.
Yeah.
He's now over on RT. RT recently did some pieces on this. So the Libertarian Party could very well decide to go there. Well, that's significant. They've just been given a little extra boost on that. So these are significant developments. But most importantly, we are at the point where the Rockefeller Initiative, which I have said many times, going back years to you, because of the work of Grant Cameron, because of the website presidentialufo.com, because of the 1,000 pages of documents, which I've been, you know, making available to people all over this town, that confirm it. The Rockefeller Initiative, to me, is the linchpin that will trigger disclosure, because the Clintons have stayed around and that she is still seeking the presidency. The people from back then are still around, most importantly, John Podesta. And so it is historically connected. There's no way to get away from that. And so, but the media hasn't covered it. They've not gone into investigative mode. They haven't asked anybody about anything until, well, starting last March. And so once that starts, the questions immediately escalate. All right, what happened? And by the way, there's of the 33 people involved in the Rockefeller Initiative, both on the government and private side, 25 are still alive and theoretically capable of testifying before a congressional hearing. So the Rockefeller Initiative, once the questions start coming from the media about that and the responses come back, the next level is the media is going to head over to the Pentagon. And they're going to start asking questions.
That's
there.
Right. They're going to be knocking on some doors.
And, George, I'm telling you, the truth embargo will collapse so fast. So hopefully we're going to see that soon. And the goal is to end this embargo this year and get this done so
if,
we can move on with civilization.
If they say that it's been happening, what case do you think they will use? Do you think it'll be Roswell? Because that's so well known. Will it be some other issue? Will it be, you know, the Navy spotted one and we first made contact in the ocean? Will it be the Lonnie Zamora case in Socorro, New Mexico?
I would not advise them to take that route. I don't think they will.
How do you think it'll be unveiled?
Well, I think here's what you do, and I've talked about this. Once the pressure gets intense enough from the media, right, the media pressure.
Right.
The Pentagon, which knows all about this, is going to have to approach the White House or vice versa, and they're going to have to get on the same page. They're going to have to negotiate an understanding that at minimum allows the president access to what he needs, meaning he's no longer on a need-to-know basis.
Does he admit, they never told me before?
Don't get ahead of me now. So
right.
Once they cut that deal, the president will be able to go in front of the American people and simply announce it. And by that, I mean you simply acknowledge the extraterrestrial presence. You don't go, oh, we just picked up a
blip.
Document about a sighting or something.
Yeah.
No, that, and nobody's going to believe that. You go in and you announce it. Now, they may take some questions that evening. There may be a press conference associated with it, and they'll be asked. And they do have some very significant public relations rapids negotiate.
It's huge, Stephen.
But I think ultimately they will say that, yes, we were... if the president can say, I have been informed. Remember, the president is not that old. He wasn't around at Roswell, and I don't think he knew much, whatever his personal thinking was, but when he went into the White House. So he can say that I have been informed that, yes, our government at the national security level knew about this going all the way back to 1947, and there was a decision that for national security reasons this needed to be fully contained as much as possible, and that things started to change after the Cold War. And at this point, it's whatever it's become appropriate now that the people can know. We're letting the people know. And then they're going, well, how much more can we know? We said, well, that's going to take some time. You're going to learn more, but it's going to be in an orderly fashion. Don't be concerned. There's no reason to be fearful, something like that. That's the approach you take. You don't try to pull a fast one. You don't try to play any games. You just come right out and say it. Now, just because you've done that doesn't mean you have to answer every question that comes from every report.
And there'll be a million questions.
True, but you answer the ones that you're comfortable with initially, and the media will quickly figure out that, okay, it's going to take some time, and we can't expect everything all at once, and we'll settle down, I think, into somewhat of an orderly fashion after maybe a week. And kind of go from there. This is how I think it will go down, and it to me is the appropriate way to go.
See, if I were in that news conference, one of my first questions, Stephen, would be, okay, Mr. President, you just said that we have nothing to worry about as this begins to unfold and you tell us more. So my question is, then why didn't you tell us before? Because if there was nothing to worry about, why weren't we told who this presence was, where they came from, and what they wanted? I mean, he's going to be scrambling.
Well, you know, you picked up on my wording there, and my wording was not particularly artful. You make a pretty good reporter, George.
Uh-huh. My
word was not particularly artful. What I'm trying to say is that
you're backtracking, Mr. President.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't be concerned about fear of the extraterrestrials, okay? Which is their principal concern. All right. But the reason that the national security lid was put on this was not about whether the extraterrestrials were dangerous or not dangerous. From the standpoint of the government back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, that given the fact that all these nuclear warheads were pointed at each other, and we were in this extremely volatile and highly dangerous situation, tossing the extraterrestrial reality into that was simply too risky. They could not game it out and where it wouldn't possibly trigger a nuclear war. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You just don't screw
That's right.
around when you've got something that delicate. So that was the concern then. The concern was nuclear war. The aliens weren't bombing us. They didn't have nuclear weapons pointed at us. The Soviets did. And so that was the concern there. Now that's kind of over, though. If we don't get our act together, we may just finally get our nuclear war anyway.
That's right.
But the president needs to let people know right away that you should not be concerned about these entities. As far as we know, they do not pose a threat to you.
Are they abducting people, Mr. President?
You see, that question, these are areas we'll be getting into.
We've got to leave now, but we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, suddenly I have a call to take. You're pointing out just how difficult this is from the standpoint of bringing it forward, which is one of the reasons why it hasn't happened. There's not a lot of people in government that are relishing this. It's hard, but government is often hard, and you have to do difficult things. So I'm not overly sympathetic, but I appreciate the fact it is hard.
It is difficult, very difficult.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is, but the people, what they don't probably appreciate is how generous the people are going to be. I mean, you and I and some of our colleagues know a great deal, and we can get really picky about this, but the vast majority of people don't know the history of all of this, and they're just going to be completely enthralled or certainly caught up in just the profound paradigm change or shift that they're experiencing. They've just been told they're not alone in the universe. And so that they're going to be extremely appreciative of the fact that the government has finally told them this, and they're going to want to know more. And the vast majority of people are not going to be yelling and screaming about you should have and would have and could have.
What a great story, though, Stephen. Maybe the best ever. Other than the second coming of Jesus, this
well,
is the best.
I wasn't around for that one, but it looks like we're going to be around for this one, George. So, I invite your listeners to start concentrating on this, to think about it and try to support this work, because we have a really good chance to get it done this year. And if I'm a candidate like Secretary Clinton, you do not want to be dealing with this in September. You want this out
right now.
You want it to go where it's going to go. I mean, if she brings it out, she answers the questions and the questions expand and we don't have disclosure, well, fine. If it doesn't happen this year, it doesn't happen. But I'll tell you, we'll be way along the way. Fine and dandy, right? But on the other hand, if it moves and we get disclosure, then all right, it's early. And now, and this is really cool, all of these other candidates, which are spending most of their time yelling at each other like kids on a school bus about silliness, which I'm sure you're aware of, will have this profound issue to discuss as they seek the presidency.
They'll be scrambling because they won't even know anything about it.
They'll have to get educated real fast. Maybe they'll give you a call.
Or you.
But the thing is that, you see, let's say you have disclosure by, I don't know, February. That means we're going to have this unbelievable 6 or 7 month dialogue going on between the people and the government and the press and the government and these candidates and the press, and this issue will be powerfully discussed in the context of who is going to be the next president of the United States in the post-disclosure world. It's perfect. You can't have it any better.
Oh, it is perfect. It is perfect. And it changes everything. It changes your perception of space travel, where you want to go, going to Mars, everything. Everything changes. It's, to me, it's one of the most exciting projects ever.
Well, I know it'll make this campaign a lot more adult and a lot more fun to watch.
Well, it sure will. And then of course, the questions abound. I mean, you'll have people like David Jacobs who will say, wait a minute, there's something else going on here. I know. They're taking people.
Fine.
They're eating people, whatever.
Well, good. And maybe David could then present his thinking on this in discussion and dialogue at maybe Harvard or Temple or Yale.
Maybe.
And we'll get some top researchers and we'll have a wonderful discussion about it in front of the student body and the professors.
At what point does Stephen Bassett take a bow for his years of contribution to trying to get this thing finally out?
Take a bow. well, look, George, I'm just a citizen activist without portfolio.
All right.
I'm going to go with the flow. I don't know where this is going to go, but we get disclosure. We'll see what happens next. I'm sure that my life will change. I know that your life is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the nature of your show, I have a feeling it will be enhanced in a post-disclosure era. You've got connections to and knowledge of all kinds of guests and people on this field that people are going to be dying to hear from. And I'm sure a lot of them are going to want to come back and pay their respects to you and come on your show. And we'll get some pretty intense discussions. And we'll probably have witnesses emerging that couldn't come forward, but post-disclosure will come forward, perhaps in large numbers. And it's going to be incredible.
Stephen, I'm telling you this because I've known you for so many years. I am going to personally make it my pilgrimage to let this world know that you were one of the most important figures behind getting this out, because you haven't stopped. I mean, I remember talking to you during the 9/11 days when you and Greer were supposed to have a major news conference. And that got put off because of that horrible situation. You have never given up. And if this comes out, if this unfolds the way you've outlined it, you deserve the credit for this. And I will make this show and publicize it as much as I can to let the world know that you were one of those hugely responsible for this.
Oh, thank you, George. I appreciate it. But let's be clear here. There are a whole bunch of people who have been in this and pushing on this for decades. And all of the researchers have made important contributions.
Yeah, but you were
all
the glue.
The media people, the contactees that have had the courage to speak up, the ones that have helped form the groups, the organizations. Believe me, this is a, while it's not the kind of thing that's visible, it's not like a million people marching up and down the mall in Washington. It is, thank God for the internet, it created the ability to create a cyberspace advocacy movement, right?
Yeah.
And so, I'm sort of lucky because I was able to stake out the political ground a little bit. But I trust me, this is not a personal crusade, and there's a lot of credit to go around. And so I'm gonna make it my one of my top priorities to come on your show and make sure that a whole bunch of people who were part of this get recognized.
Well, that's fair, too. That's fair enough, because they deserve it, too. But, I mean, you were the glue, Stephen. You're the one that kept it together. You're the one that didn't give up. You're the one who struggled. You're the one who sacrificed. I know these things, and you deserve it.
We know, George, it's interesting, but there is a conference coming up that you and I are going to be at. I'm going to be attending, that you're part of the event, and it's perfectly timed. And there's some people there that deserve a great deal of credit. And of course, I'm referring to the architects of the New Paradigm Conference.
Well, that's coming up in a week and a half.
In a week and a half, and yeah. So you've got Richard Dolan, who it's a tremendous amount of credit here. You've got Foster and Kimberly Gamble, who have been trying to create an entire movement to look forward and to a new time, new place. And of course, Danny Sheehan, who was part of the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure and a legal activist, Catherine Austin Fitz. Ron James is going to be narrating. You've got another researcher, Joel Garvin. And this is the perfect title, Architects of the New Paradigm.
Yeah.
Because disclosure is the biggest paradigm shift in human history. And as Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel sort of intimated in their book, it's possible that future generations will actually mark time from the disclosure day, meaning year 27 AD after disclosure. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But just because we get disclosure, that's just new information. The question is, if in this new era, are we going to redesign and construct a far better world than what we have now? And believe me, there's a lot of improvement needed. Somebody's got to do that.
Yeah.
The people, you know, X number of people are going to step up. And they're going to say, okay, let's get this right. Let's reform. Let's redesign. And these are people that perfectly fit that. But we need thousands like that. So the Architects of New Paradigm Conference, in my view, is like almost the first conference of this type of what may be the post-disclosure era.
The timing for that, Stephen, too, fantastic. We got full information on that event that you're going to be at, and me, on the coasttocoastam.com website. Up next, your calls with Stephen Bassett.